This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Timbo, how you doing this week?
Tom, I'm pumped.
Maybe you can tell I'm pumped too.
Yeah.
Why are you pumped?
I don't know. I'm trying to will myself to be excited about things.
Well, don't say that. Don't tell people on the show, I'm trying to will myself to be excited about
this. Fake it till
this.
You make it. If I act like I'm excited to be here, I think maybe I might have some fun. How about you? How are you doing this week?
I'm doing good, Tim. I've got Olympic fever.
Oh no.
Not that Olympic fever. not the bad one. Well, that's not why they're not letting anybody come watch any of the things that are meant to be watched.
Yeah, that's not limited to the Olympics, Tom.
What do you mean?
The fever.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's worldwide.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Olympics are worldwide in a lot of ways. I would like to point out
Pitbull is worldwide as well.
He's Mr. Worldwide. Tim, I'd like to point out, I feel like this isn't getting enough attention.
The Olympics? It's on TV.
No, an aspect of the Olympics. Well, first off, it's on TV, but good luck trying to find it. I almost signed up for Peacock because I was like, oh, I'll sign up for Peacock for a month if that's how I watch the Olympics. No, that's not how you watch the Olympics. It's how you watch some of the Olympics, but not all the Olympics.
What are you looking to watch?
Athletics. I couldn't figure out if I want to say athletics or athletes.
Yeah.
Both. Yeah. I'd like to see athletes doing some athletics. But what I'd like to see is somebody addressing that I remember a long, long time ago. How long in advance did they announce the cities Olympics are going to be in?
Oh, like 8 years, maybe?
I think it's more than that.
Yeah,
I think it's 12 years.
You better spend all your city's money on infrastructure that you'll use for one week.
Yeah, I think it's like, well, you better start raising taxes and building roads to stadiums that
will only be used for
one qualifying match ever. No, but I remember when these Olympics were first announced, I feel like these ones were announced more than 12 years ago. I want to say these were announced like 20 years ago.
Okay.
Something crazy.
I would believe you, Tom.
All right.
I have no reason to doubt you. Other than the fact that you're usually wrong about things.
I remember that they made Tokyo Olympic Committee I guess it's Tokyo, not all of Japan. Right. The Tokyo Olympic Committee was like, all right, here's some of the things we're going to do for our Olympics. First off, we're going to broadcast everything as holograms by then.
I mean, we have the technology.
But they're not using it.
I think it's because there's a pandemic.
No, Tim, don't let them off on this. They said they would broadcast everything as holograms. Actually, maybe they
did. What does that mean, though? Maybe broadcast everything as holograms?
You know what? Actually, I don't know if that's what they said. I think they might have just said that they would broadcast everything in 8K, which they are in Japan. Mm-hmm. If you have an 8K television, if you're some kind of a business mogul with an 8K TV. But the bigger thing that they promised was
the resolution is too much these days, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if 8K, like if you can actually, I mean, 4K is already like a bit of a stretch.
I had to downgrade.
From what?
I had a 4K. It scared the hell out of me. I thought there were people in my home.
It was too... Did you watch the video of the train pulling into the station and you thought...
Tom, I ran from my home screaming.
Yeah, well, yeah, some sick bastard went out and you know, upscaled used artificial it. Intelligence yeah. to upscale it, make it 60 frames per second just to scare a whole new generation.
Yes, yeah, so I threw out my television.
Well, I can't blame you for that, Tim. But the other thing that they promised that they said would happen was they said in 2020, guess what's going to happen at our Olympics? We're going to have a team of robots that's going to be able to compete in soccer.
Hmm. Do you think Boston Dynamics, is that what it's called?
Yeah, yeah, the robot company.
Yeah, do you think they could send some soccer playing guys over there?
No, because Boston Dynamics, like, they're
they just make killing machines.
They just make robots that you mount guns to.
Yeah.
No, they're
a bloodbath if they ever tried to play a soccer match.
Well, their robots are like, the robots are really cool, but they're essentially like souped up versions of, you know, what they've got in the Hall of Presidents at Disney World. Like, they have to be programmed.
Tom,
what?
They're going to send these robots to kill you for saying that.
Well, that I don't doubt because they can program these things really well.
They're going to sell some of those robots to the NYPD.
They already have.
For $45 billion. Uh-huh. And they're going to sick them on you for saying that they belong in the Hall of Presidents.
Hey, that's an honor. If I said they, I didn't say they belong in the Hall of Presidents. That'd be very confusing to children. They would think at some point there was a robot president and the country thought better of it and was like, "Ah, we'll go back to men, I guess." And hey, we've seen how well that's been going. Hey, am I right?
Hey, what's the deal with politics?
No, but like the Boston Dynamics robots, like, they have to be programmed, like, hey, go from here to here. Now, they're good at, you can tell, like, go from here to here.
Kick the ball into the goal.
And like, if something gets in your way, jump over it or whatever. But they can't.
Kill it.
But they or kill
Destroy it.
Rip it limb from limb.
Make it into goo.
If you happen to run into an obstacle, like a curb or maybe a garbage can, rip all of its limbs off to get around it.
Fire your guns.
But they can't be programmed. They don't have like the intelligence to like play a sport on their own.
Hmm.
I'm sure you could program two of them to like pass a ball back and forth. But if somebody took the ball from them, you'd have to be like, well, kill them. we don't have the technology to program how to like kick that out from under them.
So you're upset that 20 years ago.
Yeah.
The Olympic Committee. Who said this?
The Tokyo Olympic Committee.
Look, they probably could do that stuff.
No, they can't. They didn't say we can make a team that can play soccer. They said we're going to make a team that can compete. They're going to be an Olympic team. They might win the whole thing.
All right. So they didn't.
Yeah.
And you're concerned that that's not getting enough attention?
Yeah.
Held accountable in what way?
Next time they want to run the Olympics, tell them we got to see those robots first.
I think everyone throughout the entire country of Japan would agree that they should not host the Olympics ever again.
Well, that's the other disappointing thing, that apparently like Nintendo was going to have a much bigger part, which, you know, is cool. It's Nintendo. And they wisely, a little while ago, were like, actually, on second thought, we don't want to be associated with this at all.
A lot of brands.
Yeah.
Stop that. Yeah. I mean, it sucks, too, because like part of the deal with the Olympics, right, is that like, build all these stadiums, build all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll bring so much tourism there that it'll more than pay for it.
Yeah, and then they're like, don't check if that's ever been the case before in the last 100 years.
I mean, it's definitely been the case more than this year when they're just like, nobody's allowed to go.
Yeah.
Stinks.
It does stink. I don't understand if they delayed it 1 year, why not just wait another year just to be sure?
Yeah, because everything will be fine by next summer.
I mean, I guess who the hell knows? Maybe it was good that they did this. Maybe this is going to be the last Olympics ever. But I was researching, Tim, to see what sports me and you could still compete in, because a lot of Olympic athletes are much younger.
A lot.
Almost all of them. But there are some sports that I think we would...
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
What?
Just like old Gina Davis herself.
Well, archery, yeah. Yeah. Actually, this wasn't even that interesting when I looked into it. There is like a 58-year-old woman playing table tennis, though, and that's one of those ones that was like, oh, yeah, table tennis, you need to have like super fast reactions at the Olympic level.
You got to play smart, Tom. You got to play fast, but you also got to play smart.
A lot of like fake swings and stuff, you think?
Yeah.
A lot of hidden ball tricks that 58-year-old's got in her back pocket. And in her back pocket, she's also probably got a couple of trick balls.
Yeah, they don't check for those.
Well, it's not against the rules to use a trick ball every once in a while. A trick ball that, like, it can be hit one time, but the second time it turns into powder.
Oh, boy.
I mean, honestly, the scientists in Tokyo, sure, they may have let us down with the soccer playing robots, but they did develop a ping pong ball that on the first hit acts perfectly normally. On the second hit, just turns into powder.
We should be, you know, devoting our scientific resources to.
Yeah, I guess a lot of trick balls with ping pong, it would have to be like, it can't do this on the first hit. It has to do it on the second hit. Or maybe you just slip it. You know, you get a man on the inside to slip it to the other person. Like, here, use this ball. And they don't know it's a sticky ball.
Right.
You know, they're going to hit it. It's going to stick to the paddle.
Yeah, it's a fault right there.
Yeah, exactly. And then the ref's going to be like, hey, rules are rules. Yeah. And the rules don't say anything about trick balls. Sorry. I didn't know, though. So, I mean, the sports that we could do, like I said, it's actually kind of boring. That's like, you know, golf. Equestrian was another one that I thought, like, oh, we're too old. But no, a lot of rich old people are equestrian.
Do they ride the horses or do they just pay people?
No, they ride the horses.
Oh, okay.
But they
pay the horses, though, right?
Of course. The horses are handsomely paid.
Bring your own horse?
Yeah, you bring your own horse.
What?
You train with the horse. The horse is honestly more the athlete than the person, I think.
That's what I'm saying, but the person's getting all the glory in that, right? Like, a horse doesn't win the Olympics, right?
God, I hope not.
Right?
The whole thing?
But if we're just treating the horse as a tool, it'd be like a basketball team being like, we practiced with this ball, so we had to play the game with this ball.
Don't let a horse hear you say that, Tim.
No, that's how we're... I think the horse... They should put the medals on the horses.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's just some...
At the very least, they should also put the medals on the horses. Don't you think also at the end of the Olympics, there should be one winner?
Out of everything?
Out of everything.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the person that won.
Well, they would take all the gold medalists, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they'd all have to compete in something, like an MTV's The Challenge style.
Yeah, final. Like a final obstacle course or something.
And each element of the obstacle course would play to each gold medal winner's sport, right?
Well, yeah, put a pin in that thought because I got a sport for you. But the oldest person to compete in the Olympics ever, 72.
Okay. So slightly older than you, a 40-year-old
but
man.
This was, I think, in the 40s, the Olympics used to have art categories. Okay. So they had painting, engraving, and etching.
Like, who could do it fastest?
No. No, like, you know, judging it like a gymnast routine of like, all right, we've got a panel of judges. Make some
what
art
in the world they did this
and the and this person that won, they won by drawing like people playing polo, and it's like, oh, you're playing to the to the stands here,
sportos.
Of course. It's like, hey, sports, you know, somebody else is probably like, oh, this is my dying lover.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, this is a bunch
dying
of
lover,
this is a
like
bunch
a
of
bowl of fruit maybe.
Yeah. Well, a bowl of fruit, come on, they've seen that a million times.
Yeah, but if you do that, you have to learn how to do the basics before you can subvert them, Tom.
Yeah, but this is the Olympics, Tim. If you're in the Olympics for art, you've got the basics down. They didn't just get some old man off the street. Do you know about this sport, though? It hasn't happened yet, so I'm very excited to watch it. The modern pentathlon?
No, I don't know about it.
So you know, like, decathlon, triathlon.
It's like running and swimming and biking and shooting and stuff.
Here are the events for the modern pentathlon. First one, fencing.
Okay.
Second one, swimming.
Tom, these are...
Well, listen. Third one, more fencing.
That's it. Wait. Pentathlon?
Yeah.
So it's just five?
Yeah.
And two of them are fencing?
Well, they count the fencing once, I think.
Okay.
More fencing. But then the next one... Now,
but this time you're all wet.
Perhaps.
From the swimming.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's that, like the sword might slip out of your hand. Now here's where things get wacky. Fourth one, equestrian with an unfamiliar horse.
See?
Yep. They have to draw horses out of a hat.
Huh. I like this.
They're only allowed to meet their horse 20 minutes beforehand.
You shouldn't get to meet it at all. And some of the horses should be mean.
Yeah, I don't know... That's a good question. If it's like, well, we try and get 20 horses, they're all similar temperament, or it's like, no, some of these are like the best horses in the world. Some of these are like horses we found at the glue factory. Some of these are wild horses we captured that have not been tamed. And yeah, it all, it's luck of the draw to a certain point. Then the last event, laser run.
Laser run.
Laser run.
This sounds awesome. Like Q-Zar?
A little bit. So it is target shooting with a laser gun with
You got too excited.
A big laser pistol. But they shoot a target and then have to run 800 meters, pick up the gun again, shoot the target exhausted, run again. They have to do it four times. And apparently, the real trick of it is, you can shoot a gun accurately, but can you shoot a gun accurately when you're, going to vomit because you're so exhausted? And it's, you have to be good at, apparently, controlling your breath and, holding your breath and shooting.
You should also have to do a shot of whiskey.
Maybe that's they don't put that in the rules, but it's a gentleman's agreement that they all also do a shot of whiskey. Now, this sport, I don't think I'd be able to do.
Okay, I was wondering if you thought you'd be able, because I think all of that.
No, I wouldn't even like to meet an unfamiliar horse.
I don't want to be within 100 yards of an unfamiliar horse. Tom, we have a special subject this week.
Yeah, we sure do.
You couldn't believe that we haven't covered this topic before.
Yeah, I still can't believe it.
Yeah, we talk about him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This week, Ben Affleck. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Affleck.
Tim, I thought we were doing this episode about Bella Fleck.
And the Flecktones?
Yeah. The
banjo player?
Yeah, the banjo band. Oh, no. All my notes are about them.
People don't like when you pull that bit.
Why don't they like that?
Remember when we were doing a Steven Spielberg episode and you pretended that you got him confused with little Steven Van Zandt?
Yeah, people love that. People love Steven Van Zandt.
People got so upset with you. People are still mad about it.
Did you hear recently that apparently what's his name, Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini was offered The Office?
Mm-hmm.
They offer him $4 million
after Steve Carell left.
Yeah, and HBO offered him $3 million to not do it.
Yeah,
when it sounded like he didn't want to do it anyway, he wasn't even really considering it.
Yeah,
that's a good deal.
That's a good deal. So HBO was just trying to protect the legacy of The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of shitty, I think, but I don't know.
It is, but it's to what end?
Yeah,
to like sell DVDs at the time? What was that? Probably like 2011?
Yeah.
Like, were they, like, what was HBO doing to, like, exploit The Sopranos that they, you know,
right,
half
that they
a
were
decade
like,
after the series
everyone's
ended.
Gonna stop watching it if, yeah. if he's on, where it's like, no, actually people might go back and watch it because he's back on like one of the most popular shows on TV.
Anyway,
I feel like The Office, like latter seasons of The Office, I recently rewatched The Office during the pandemic, and like latter seasons I hadn't seen a lot of. And I was never, you watched it a lot when we were roommates.
Mm-hmm.
So like I saw a lot of it that way, but I was like never real.
You were too busy reading big literary books.
Dostoevsky.
Yeah.
That's what I was busy reading. And I was like, oh, what is this? The Office, an American workplace.
That's what it was.
But,
at the time, I was like, I prefer the British Office.
But the latter seasons, it seemed like NBC kind of like lost their minds about like TV's ending and we have a hit show and the main guy doesn't want to do it anymore. What do we do?
Right.
But again, I don't know how that affected HBO.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, if you know the answer, write in. Let us know. Tom, we got to stay focused because this is a like deceptively big topic.
Right.
Because it's Ben Affleck.
Uh-huh.
Tom, Ben Affleck is a man who contains multitudes, right?
Hell, the God, yeah, he does.
There's Kevin Smith Ben Affleck.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's acclaimed director Ben Affleck.
Mm-hmm. And screenwriter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even though he only did that one.
There's a... Well, no, he does the screenplays for the movies that he writes.
Yeah,
too,
yeah.
And that he directs.
Yeah.
He does the screenplays for the movie. Yeah, Tim, of course.
Attended a screenwriting class?
There's dumb movies, Ben Affleck.
Well, like what?
Like Armageddon, Pearl Harbor, like that shit.
Mm-hmm.
There's like prominent Boston scumbag. Ben Affleck, right? Like,
smoking cigarettes, getting his back tattooed,
Dunkin' Donuts, getting kicked out of the Hard Rock Casino for counting cards.
Yeah.
There's Project Greenlight Ben Affleck,
arguably the best Ben Affleck.
There's the tabloid lover Ben Affleck. So there's so much to talk about, feel like, Tom, we're gonna try to cover it all, but. Mm-hmm. Can't so I feel like we can't go on tangents about
the office. All right, I'll try
laser shooting at the Olympics. I just feel like we had to, for once in our goddamn lives, let's try to stay focused. This is important.
Are you worried that a la Richard Marks, Ben Affleck's gonna listen to this episode and mad?
I hope he listens to it. Where do we come down on Ben Affleck? I
love him.
He's so charismatic.
Yeah.
He's so charming. And I feel like people want to get down on him because he's a Boston scumbag. But compared to the other acting Boston scumbags, like,
right.
Wouldn't you rather like him than Mark Wahlberg?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because Mark Wahlberg's like a phony Boston scumbag. Like he's a Boston scumbag, but now he's like a big, like I'm a religious guy.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, come on, man, just be a scumbag. That's your true nature. But he
was like, oh, scumbag.
Well, I think that's the problem.
He was a hate crime Boston scumbag.
Yeah, that was the problem, that Ben Affleck has successfully walked the line of like, at worst, annoying Boston scumbag.
Now, we say at worst with the caveat of, you know, this might not age well.
Right.
As far as we know.
Yeah, there have been a couple of accusations against him.
Oh.
Not awful things, but not good things either. Okay. Like,
I don't want to know about them.
Yeah.
Right now, in the context of a comedy podcast.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, it sounds like, you know, not that this excuses it, but I think, you know, related to his drinking.
Okay.
His drinking problems.
Yes.
But I want
big history of addiction issues in his family, Tom.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, what happens often. Gets passed down, unfortunately. Yeah. Did you have something else to say about that, or you just wanted to say?
Bing. No, there's some really sad stuff in his family. Ain't none of my business.
Right. You're all like, hey, let's not talk about his, accusations that he's been in inappropriate. Let's talk about his addiction.
No, I'm saying let's move on. Let's talk about how he touched the famous lady's butt.
Yeah, he finally, after what, 20 years, he finally got to touch J-Lo's butt.
Yeah.
She doesn't let just anybody touch that butt. That's the most famous butt in the world. Would you say it's the most famous butt in the world?
Tom, it is insured by Lloyd's of London.
Wow. And they won't insure just anything, no. Tim. I don't know. There might be somebody in China or India or something with like a more famous butt. And it's just like, well, we're not plugged into those pop cultures.
Yeah.
But I think I still think it might be J-Lo. I would still put, hey, they'd throw me out of the casino for putting a bet on that, because they'd be like, you've got an unfair advantage of who's got the most famous butt in the world.
Why would you
be like, well, why are you taking these bets?
Wait, why would you have an unfair advantage?
Because of course she does. But again, why offer that as something you can bet on?
Tom, this woman is an award-winning actress. She's a great a phenomenal actress.
Yes.
And multi-platinum music star, and all mm-hmm. you want to talk about is her
butt. It's not all I want to talk about. I'm just saying that's what she's very known for. And Ben Affleck finally got to touch her butt. It didn't look like a lotioning. It looked like it wasn't even like a squeeze or anything. It was, perhaps caught mid-pat.
Right.
Perhaps just resting it on her butt. But yeah, they were on a yacht together. And the paparazzi got a picture of him.
The paps.
Laying his hand across her bikini bottom.
Mm-hmm. All right. And that has been the Ben Affleck episode.
You just wanted to make sure we covered that.
We stayed on topic and we finished early.
Tim, our first episode of 2010, we predicted that 2010 would be the year of 20 Ben for Ben Affleck. Now, at the time, Ben Affleck was kind of down and out. Mm-hmm. This was like post Geely, mm-hmm. post Daredevil.
Right.
Yeah, he had been in kind of like a series of flops post Jersey Girl.
Hey, Jersey Girl. I never saw Jersey Girl.
But, he kind of had that thing happen that a lot of young Hollywood stars have once they're like not young anymore, of like, well, now we've got these huge expectations for you.
Right.
And then, he had kind of like a series of flops, and he had kind of like fallen out of favor a bit, it felt like.
Right.
He wasn't seen as a star. But 9 months after we made our prediction about 2010 being the year of 20 Ben.
I think you're rewriting history a little bit. I made that prediction and you mocked me for it.
I don't think so. Unfortunately, the episode's not available, so it can't be checked.
Yeah.
No, we were both excited about 20 Ben. We were both pulling for the guy.
There were two predictions we made. That number one, 2010 would be 20 Ben, the year of Ben Affleck. Mm-hmm. And number two, that they would introduce some sort of milker net situation where it'd be plumbing, where you could get milk.
Yeah, you would have another faucet at your sink.
And that didn't come to fruition. Milk.
Oh, you don't know. Maybe it didn't in certain areas. Okay. I mean, of course, they can't roll it out nationwide.
Wisconsin?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've got a cheese button as well. I don't know how the cheese would come out. Maybe it's string cheese and it comes out through another smaller
faucet. We have to stay focused here. Sorry. 9 months after you and I both together, me with the support of you and not mocked by you at all.
Inseminated the idea.
Incepted, let's say.
No, inseminated, because then 9 months later, the baby was born.
Okay.
And that baby was the movie The Town.
Ooh.
That Ben Affleck made and starred in, right? I never saw it.
It was a good movie.
I've heard it's good. I keep meaning to watch it.
That wasn't the first, like, the Gone Baby Gone was before that, right?
I think so, a little bit before that. But I think Gone Baby Gone, it was like, oh, all right. But then The Town, it was like, oh, okay, this guy's got legitimate directing chops.
You guys are going to break into and steal from Fenway Park? Yeah. What, are you nuts?
Yeah. Were you not a true Boston fan? Mm. The Town comes out.
That was the first time I saw who Jeremy Renner was, and I was like, oh, that guy.
You're like, I'm going to keep an eye on this guy.
No,
I don't trust him.
It's a name that I had heard before, and I was like, oh, this guy just looks like a shifty guy.
I'm surprised you heard that name before. I don't know if I had. What was he in before that?
I don't know. Things? Jump. This is a Ben Affleck episode. Another
yeah. And then since then, Tim, he went on to make Argo.
Mm-hmm.
He won Best Picture. Mm-hmm. At the Oscars themselves.
Although he wasn't even nominated for Best Director.
Yeah, which is bullshit. Mm-hmm. That's anti-Boston bias right there, yeah. Which I'm sure he yelled about at the after party a lot. They made Gone Girl with David Fincher.
Mm-hmm.
Then the motherfucker became Batman.
Right. I mean,
now that's
you,
a hell of a decade.
To you, that's the pinnacle of...
Yeah, winning an Oscar and then becoming Batman. Yeah, it's not just for me, Tim. It's a pinnacle for anyone.
Right, but he never like played Batman in a Batman movie.
No, he played Batman in a series of bad movies.
Right.
But he was a decent Batman. I honestly get to say it. I wish he got to make his Batman movie because he was going to write and direct a Batman mm-hmm. movie, and he had written, and that was like part of how they got him, I think. Because they were like, look, you're going to have to like be in, you know, this big movie. But like Ben Affleck, we're going to let you make a big, you know, summer blockbuster. And
we'll let it be one of the prestigious ones where we'll make it the Batman.
Right. Well, I mean, this was post Christopher Nolan. So I'm sure they were like, look at what we let Christopher Nolan do. We gave him fucking $100 million and told him, like, go nuts, do whatever you want.
He made 1.25 good movies.
We'll let you do that. Nah, he made 2 good movies. The third one's not that good. It has its moments.
The parts of The Dark Knight that Keith Ledger is not
interminable. Yeah, the Batman parts are not very good in The Dark Knight. But I'm sure that that's what they pointed to, that they were like, this is what you're going to be. This is going to be even beyond being able to make that movie. It was like, this is going to be your stepping stone. You're going to be a new Christopher Nolan or Macquarie, the guy who does the Mission Impossible,
right.
Where it's like, you're going to be the new guy that makes these huge summer movies that cost a fortune, but you get your creative control so you can kind of do cool things.
Do you think and then that's appealing to a guy that won an Oscar for Best Picture for like not a comic book movie?
What do you mean?
Like, do you think he saw that as like, oh, I've graduated to this? Or do you think he was just like, this is actually kind of like a step, like a nice like diversion, but like this isn't like, oh, I finally made it where like I get to make summer blockbusters.
Well, no, but I think being able to make a summer blockbuster and like Warner Brothers thing at the time was like, hey,
Wacko, Yakko, and Dot
was like, we're hands off with our directors,
right?
So I think for him it was like, you're gonna get to make like $100 million, $200 million, whatever, like crazy budget movie, and also guess what, you're gonna get so fucking rich making those movies.
He's rich enough.
No, nobody ever thinks I'm rich enough, especially in Hollywood.
Right.
And I'm sure it was just like, you always think this. You always think that like all these people in Hollywood don't want to make big things because you listen to these interviews where they're like, actually, I like making indie movies, and you buy it. They like making the big movies, making the big bucks. That's what he wanted.
Okay.
I know Ben Affleck better than anyone.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Tom?
Yes.
What's your social battery like right now?
Beep.
Oh.
Boo.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
Tom, I'll tell you from my perspective, since you're avoiding the question.
Uh-huh.
My social battery feels a little drained right now.
That was what that second sound was.
But getting drained.
I had to do the going up to show you the going
down. You gotta go up to get down.
That's what my first single's about.
It's weird. I feel kind of drained socially, even though you can attest I don't do much socially.
Yeah, yeah. And you enjoy social things, but
I do.
But
and
it drains you.
Yeah, I don't know. It can be very easy to ignore our social battery, which is kind of what I'm doing right now, and spread ourselves thin or just not know kind of like, you know, where the optimal socialization is for
you.
You
want to be a shut-in, but you can't be a party animal.
Yeah. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Mm-hmm. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more time alone. I don't know. Maybe you need a little bit of both. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Tom, we are, as everybody knows, very pro-therapy on this podcast.
Yes.
Anybody can benefit from therapy. It's not just for people, you know, dealing with trauma.
Yeah, or going through tough times.
Yeah, it's helpful for learning positive coping skills and setting boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, Tom. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, like you, Tom. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/complete guide today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, .com/complete guide.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
All right, Tom. In the interest of not having you talk about Batman for the next 45 minutes.
He's playing Batman again in The Flash. Look at this guy. Does he not have the life? He's on a yacht with his hand on J-Lo's butt.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, he's got a stuntman in Glasgow, England, in his costume riding a motorcycle around. He gets to be Batman without the risk of falling off a motorcycle. And I feel like every time they make these movies, they're all these Batman, they make these motorcycles that are not meant to be ridden and they fall off them all the time.
Yeah. I mean, Tom,
he does
Ben Affleck,
ride motorcycles, though.
He owns 5 motorcycles,
wow.
I learned from IMDb.
He owns 5 motorcycles. Yeah. Holy hell.
You know what else I learned that he owns?
What?
Hey, this is a new segment that we'll do every week.
What does Ben Affleck own?
No. Cue up the theme music for Affleck F-Facts.
What? F-Facts?
Yeah.
Was that supposed
it's
to
facts
mean?
About Ben Affleck.
But why is there an A in it? Why can't it just be Ben Affleck facts? Ben Affleck.
That's what I just said.
No, Affleck, but don't Affax. Say but don't say Affleck before. Just say Ben Affax.
But then it could be facts about any Ben.
It would have to be a Ben Benihana. Yeah. It could be about Benihana. Yeah. See, and then you give yourself some room, actually.
Oh, then we can.
If you run out of Ben Affleck facts, we can talk about Benihana facts.
He owns five motorcycles.
Yeah, you already said that fact, Tim. Oh, boy. We're already recycling facts.
He owns, Tom, you'll like this. He owns vintage Ms. Pac-Man and Millipede arcade games.
Wow.
Which, you could own arcade games.
I mean, all those, if you own a Ms. Pac-Man and Millipede, it's vintage because they didn't make like new ones recently.
Yeah, but would you want that in your, like, would you ever play Millipede if it was in your home?
No, I mean, I was never like real into the, and Pac-Man's fun, of course, but like, I don't know, whenever I'm at an arcade and they've got like those like early 80s games, I'm always like, eh.
I think it's foolish to buy an arcade cabinet with just one game, because that's the benefit of having a system. Mm-hmm. You can play different games.
So you think instead of this, Ben Affleck maybe should have bought like a PlayStation or an
You're
Xbox.
A Switch.
Yeah. I think he doesn't mind. You know, he's probably got room in his house.
Oh, I thought you said he wasn't rich enough and he needed to be in more Batman movies.
He's got enough room for two arcade systems, but maybe he wants to buy some more. So that's why he wanted to make a Batman movie.
Tom, do you remember in school we watched the first Ben Affleck?
Oh, yeah.
The Voyage of the Mimi.
Voyage of the Mimi.
Which was his first. It was a PBS show.
Right.
That was created to be watched in sixth grade classrooms. I watched it in fifth grade.
Whoa.
I was advanced. Mm-hmm. But it's about shipwrecked people.
Yeah, it was educational, but I didn't understand what aspect of it was educational.
Yeah, there was
the survival aspect.
It was survival, but I don't see why they needed to show that to suburban kids on Long Island.
No, here's what happens if you get in a shipwreck. Here's how to like distill water using a garbage bag.
Yeah, and all I remember is at one point there was.
I mean, I guess I remember how to distill water with a garbage bag.
I remember at one point they were trying to stay warm at night.
Desalinate water, not distill.
And the way they did it was the old man that was shipwrecked on the boat.
Uh-huh.
Ben Affleck took off their clothes and got into a sleeping bag together.
Yeah. Oh, like, Tim, you think I don't remember that? You think that didn't all hell didn't break loose in a sixth grade classroom when an old man and a young Ben Affleck got into a sleeping bag naked together to
Tom,
stay warm?
My favorite Ben Affleck is Kevin Smith Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
And
I feel like that's the truest to who he actually
exactly.
is.
Exactly. And the best, like, the distillation of that is, like, director's commentaries on like, those early Kevin Smith movies where Ben Affleck participates.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, Kevin Smith, Ben Affleck, and Jason Mewes talking over a terrible movie for, like, 90 to 120
minutes. And Ben Affleck drinking.
Yeah. And Jason Mewes brought up that scene in Voyage of the Mimi. And it's the only time I've ever seen, like, you know, Ben Affleck always goes out of his way to, like, be charming and, like,
right.
all, except when paparazzi shots are, like, showing him sad and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, always, like, oh, there's a microphone on. I'm going to.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was just like, it's the only time I've ever heard him, like, lose his cool and be like, yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Appreciate it. Yeah, really cool that you brought that up. Because at that point, he wasn't like that far away from it.
Yeah, yeah. And he wasn't that famous yet. Like he was on his way up. And I think he was probably like real conscious of like, I got to play everything right now. Because like I'm on my way up, but like something embarrassing getting brought to light.
Me getting into a sleeping bag naked with an old man.
And he was like a teenager, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Around the same time, he was in a Burger King commercial, Tom. Have you ever seen this commercial?
I don't think I have, actually. I'm surprised.
Picture this. Ben Affleck.
Maybe
teen.
I saw it on television.
No, I had never seen it. I saw it for the first time today.
Yeah, and we've seen all the same Burger King commercials.
I mean, we came up together. We watched the same stuff. Ben Affleck, teen, driving around in a car.
Mm-hmm.
His car phone rings. Already, you're like,
all right.
He answers it, and it's a lady talking in a real sexy voice.
Is it J-Lo? Is it a young J-Lo?
No, it's just another teen.
She was a teen.
And it's like, hello, is this Burger King? Mm. And Ben Affleck looks up. He's driving right by a Burger King.
Right.
So he goes, yeah, it's a Burger King.
And meanwhile, that phone call's costing like $11.99 a minute.
And she's like, can you deliver to my house like a Whopper and fries? And he's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Which is like, Burger King didn't have freaking delivery.
Yeah, and don't put out a commercial implying that maybe you do. That's just going to cause confusion in the marketplace. Yeah.
But his whole thing is like, this lady sounds
sexy. Yeah, sexy. So I'll do anything.
I'm going to go bring her Burger King, and here I am. And so he goes, gets it. She gives him his address. He goes, leaves it in front of the door, knocks on the door, but his car phone rings again.
Mm-hmm.
He goes and runs to answer it. He goes, hello? Oh, hi, Dad. Meanwhile, this babe comes out in a mini skirt.
What?
Picks up the Burger King.
Yeah.
Goes inside and he goes, yeah, I'll be right home, Dad.
Yeah. He didn't even get his money for the... I don't understand. Did the woman think the Burger King was free?
Maybe she gave him his credit card her credit card number, and then he stole her identity. Maybe that's what he was really at. He was like, I'll be right home, Dad. And he'll be like, Dad, guess what? Another one.
Yeah. Maybe his dad was a mob guy.
Yeah. And they were putting ads in the newspaper, like, call for Burger King delivery.
Oh, yeah.
And
it
would go to the car phone.
Give us your credit card number. Yeah. We'll bring it right to you. And then if you actually bring it to him, well, that's going to lower a lot of suspicion. You know, people, and back then people had to wait for their credit card bill to come. Yeah. So as long as they got their Burger King, they think everything happened fine.
And at the time, like a Whopper meal, it was before value meals.
Yeah.
I mean, it was probably.
Yeah, you had to pay for that stuff individually.
Yeah, but it probably cost him $7, drop that off, and then he could spend thousands of
dollars. Yeah, you can go to Lord and Taylor's with that credit card number.
He probably went, yeah, I'll be right home, Dad. Picked up his dad, went right to Lord and Taylor's.
Hey, let's get some new suits.
Tom, we all know that Ben Affleck and Matt Damon wrote the Good Will Hunting script.
So they claim.
I mean, they at least wrote a draft of it.
Yeah.
I think at some point it was like a murder mystery or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I have heard that, like, oh, yeah, it had, like, more elements to it.
Because,
I mean, the movie, it's a great movie.
Never seen it.
You've never seen it?
I fell asleep while I was watching it one time.
I
saw enough of it that I was like, I don't want to watch all this again.
It's a great movie, but, like, yeah, I mean, not a whole lot. It's a small story, like, and it's actually, yeah, it's kind of surprising that, like, these two first time screenwriters would be so restrained, I think, in their, like, no, we're going to tell a small story about this guy who's smart, but he's got a real chip on his shoulder, but not more than smart. He's like a genius. But yeah, it's easy to imagine Ben Affleck being like, yeah, and then he robs a casino.
I think that's what it was. It was like a crime caper or something, or a mob story.
They should make that one.
Yeah. But did you know the reason it got made is because Ben Affleck's buddy, Kevin Smith, was like, let me bring this to my buddy, Harvey Weinstein from the Miramax company.
Mm-hmm.
Which, look, maybe in a few years this won't be the case, but I haven't heard a bad word about Harvey Weinstein.
Right. Notorious good man, Harvey Weinstein. I mean, it is very, off-putting, I guess, about, like, how many, you know, people came up through Miramax and came up through Harvey Weinstein. Like, the guy was a kingmaker there for a bit. So, it's not surprising to hear, like, oh, yeah, no, somebody brought him a script and, like, you know, he got Gus Van Sant on board and they're off to the races.
Yeah, Mork to sign up for it.
Yeah, you got Mork from Mork and Mindy to sign up. And he was like, "Mork, you're gonna have to do a Boston accent. You can't do the accent from Ork,
right?
An Orkian accent." Okay.
I've never seen even one episode of Mork and Mindy.
I remember it was on like
Nick at Night. Yeah, but I was never interested. I'd watch Happy Days till the cast came home.
I never liked either of those shows. I like the older, the Dobie Gillis and Mr. Ed. Those were my jam. It's like, I don't want these newfangled Mork from Ork. And
I was with you, but then when Welcome Back Kotter came on, I got really into Welcome Back Kotter.
Yeah, I mean, Welcome Back Kotter was pretty good too. I don't know. I'm surprised because like 70s shows depressed me. I didn't like the way they looked.
What was depressing about Taxi?
God.
I watched so much Taxi and I love it.
What was depressing about MASH?
So, I mean, I think I watched too much of the 70s Nick at Night and it made me like a melancholy kid.
See, and that's what I was afraid of. That's why I avoided it, plague.
My mom came into my room and said, "Your father and I think you should see a psychiatrist. You've been watching too much Taxi." You've
been watching too many 70s sitcoms and it's turned you into just like a real drip.
Just stare off into the distance a lot. Ben Affleck was ranked number 41 in Premier Magazine's 2003 annual Power 100 list.
In what year? 2001?
2003.
Tim, already the Ben Afflecks are
the Affleck affects. Because then this could be anyone in the Affleck. This could be Casey Affleck.
Yeah. I think he's like actually canceled, I think.
Yeah.
What about that Affleck duck? You think when Ben Affleck saw the first commercial for that, he was like, "Oh shit, here we go." Brother, now I'm gonna be competing with Gilbert Gottfried.
Now I'm gonna get lampooned on podcasts. Tom, this is the last Affleck. I will afflict you with. With the exception of Clerks.
Mm-hmm.
He has appeared in all of Kevin Smith's View Askewniverse films.
Huh.
Which is like Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, the new reboot.
Clerks 2.
Uh-huh. I think there's one more. I don't know. But
I didn't. Where is he in Clerks 2?
He has like a cameo of like as like an angry customer or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think I do remember that. Yeah.
Are you surprised that Kevin Smith hasn't like remastered Clerks yet and like digitally inserted Ben Affleck into it and like Jason Lee?
No, I think Kevin Smith and probably rightly so is like, look, that first Clerks movie is like the only movie that like still has like some like sheen of like art to it. And I'm not going to touch it.
To his credit, I do think like he doesn't go back. He's not like.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't rest on his lore. He exploits all those things.
Right.
But he doesn't like mess with the originals.
Yeah. And I think for no other reason than it's just like, I don't know, how much good is there to doing that? Whereas like, I mean, I think that was the problem with why George Lucas did that with the Star Wars movies, I think was because he was bored. You know, he was just kind of idle. He's like, I've got a ton of money. I have like multiple companies that I started to make these movies. They're just sitting around doing nothing right now. Like, well, I'd be like, hey, yeah, go back to that movie I wasn't completely happy with and, you know, see what you can work up.
Them computers.
Yeah. Whereas, like, I think Kevin Smith, more than anything, just, like, doesn't really have that luxury of, like, nope, I made all that money on Clerks and now I can just, like, keep diddling with it.
Right. Yeah, I think he also rightly assumes, like, if I get people to watch Clerks again, they're going to be like, This was good at the time.
Yeah, yeah. I think that that's the problem too. That it's not like, oh, like Star Wars was, you know, they would still play it in theaters right. decades later. And like Clerks, it's like, nah, it's still good, but it's not like, man.
Is it? Are you willing to say that? When's the last time you saw Clerks?
Yeah, I don't know for sure. I mean, I liked it a lot, you know, years ago. But yeah, I mean, I haven't rewatched it.
I saw Clerks when I was too young to see Clerks. It taught me a lot of things that I shouldn't have known about.
I watched the new... the first episode of the new He-Man and the Masters of the Universe that Kevin Smith wrote, that's very controversial because, spoiler alert, for anybody that doesn't want to be spoiled on a cartoon, the first episode, he kills He-Man and Skeletor.
Really?
Yeah. And that's why people are so mad.
Like, really? Like,
oh, yeah. Like, fully, like, gets them into a situation where it's like Skeletor like sacrifices himself kind of to like trick He-Man, but then like when that's happening, He-Man has to like absorb the energy to like save the universe. So they both die. And like it seems like it's fairly permanent, you know, who knows? They could come up with something
like
to
this, yeah.
Yeah. And I think this was only like the first half of the season. They're gonna do a second half. But I liked it, and I think they did a good job of, like, you know, I was a He-Man fan when I was fucking 4 or 5 years old. I don't remember what any episode was ever about. I'm sure they were absolute mind-numbing garbage. So I kind of like the, like, well, we're going to go back, and we're going to make this, like, the way you think it was, but it wasn't. And also I like in the show, they like fully embrace all the design of like the characters and everything. It's based on the toys rather than the cartoon. And it's like, yeah, I remember the toy. Like I remember the proportions of the figures more than I remember, like, you know, what the cartoon looked like. So I kind of liked it in that aspect of like, yeah, go full on. Like this was a fucking commercial to sell toys to children. So make it the full commercial, but then subvert things because why not? Who cares? And then I remembered that the Clerks cartoon was fantastic.
The Clerks cartoon was good. Yeah.
So I'm like, oh yeah, Kevin Smith knows how to make cartoons.
Yeah. Should maybe.
Make a Ben Affleck cartoon.
Ooh.
If there was an Adventures of Ben Affleck cartoon, Ben Affleck did the voice, Kevin Smith wrote it.
What would he do?
He'd go to Dunkies every day. And like, so like the character Dunkin' Donuts would be, you know, one of the recurring characters. He would play himself. He would still be
like
a Hollywood.
Would it just be like, there wouldn't be any kind of, he goes on adventures?
No, he'd solve mysteries.
Okay.
Yeah, he'd solve mysteries around Hollywood. That happened.
Matt Damon would come once in a while.
Yeah.
As a sidekick.
Yeah, it's like a sidekick of, you know, what do you think Matt Damon would be like? You think he'd be like comic relief, maybe?
Maybe.
Or you see him as like a scrappy doo to Ben Affleck's Scooby-Doo.
Hey, how is Matt Damon positioned these days?
What do you mean?
Like, what's his deal? What has he been doing? What has he been up to?
I'll tell you what he's been doing. He's been touching J-Lo's butt, Tim. Have you not been reading the newspaper?
Matt Damon. Jesus. We've been talking about Ben Affleck for an hour, Tom. I know what he's up to.
He's in that new Stillwater movie.
Yeah.
I know he just shot. He has like a little bit of a bigger part, it sounds like, in the new Thor movie.
Okay. But like he's not like... He was super busy. He was like... action hero Jason Bourne, but like that's not,
yeah, he's like done with Jason Bourne,
right? So like I don't know where he fits into the Affleckiverse when it comes to the Kevin Smith cartoon version.
Yeah. Do you think Jennifer Gardner's in the cartoon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what, platonic, supportive. Yeah.
Do you think maybe she's like the Penny to his Inspector Gadget?
No, I think she's more of like, I don't know what the cartoon equivalent of, but like more of like the Charlie of Charlie's Angels.
Oh, so where she like, gives Ben Affleck his missions?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think she's like, I think she's more together than Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe so people,
like,
people.
She's not working for him. She's, oh, but Penny was doing all the work.
That's what I'm
I
saying.
See.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And.
But she deserves the credit. Penny never got the credit.
Yeah.
And
that's
I think
true.
People would be pissed if Jennifer Garner was
didn't get credit.
Toiling away and then didn't yeah. get credit.
Well, what if Jennifer Garner, she was like the person people came to with their problems. And then, but sometimes there were problems that like required somebody to get their hands a little dirty. And that's when she calls her ex-husband, Ben Affleck. and he's at the local Dunkin' Donuts. He's shooting the shit with the owner who works there. Who's a recurring, you know, like a buddy. And he's like, all right, I'll take the case.
That's going to be, if it's a Kevin Smith production, Jason Mewes is going to do the voice of.
Yeah, I guess Jason yeah. Mewes would probably be the guy working at the Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. And the two of them would just talk about like their recovery and like be like smoking cigarettes and drinking a lot of Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
See, I was thinking they'd be talking about, I don't know. I didn't think they'd
what
be
talking Ben Affleck oh, talk about?
I thought they'd be talking about like, you know, like 80s cartoons or something. They'd be having like clerk styles arguments yeah. about things.
But I feel like that doesn't ring true for Affleck.
It's done now. Yeah. He'd be like, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. I don't know what he talks about.
Who knows what he talks about? I mean, neither of us have a nice enough butt to get close enough to you know what he's really like.
Yeah. I mean, what we should do is become a filmmaking team, mm-hmm. get on
Project Greenlight.
Project Greenlight. That way we can get close to him.
Tim, all right. Project Greenlight season 5, is it? Four or five?
The only good season. The only one that I watched.
The latest season of Project Greenlight, which is already like
the final
6 years
season.
Ago. Never say never, Tim. That show has died and come back a lot of times. Oh. It is on HBO Max, I assume. I don't even know. No, it is. It is. I checked.
Yeah, no, I watched. Did I tell you? I watched the whole season about a month ago.
So anybody that's unfamiliar, this came about early on. This was like a Miramax thing. In like the late 90s, early 2000s, I want to say was the first Project Greenlight.
Yeah, I think more early 2000s. It's when Ben Affleck and Matt Damon started producing shows.
Right.
Like the one show Lost,
mm-hmm.
which is not Lost that we know.
Right.
But it was like a reality or a game show.
Yeah.
Where it was essentially actually The Running Man.
Right.
Where like there'd be a contestant that like.
Was hiding out.
Was hiding and they could go anywhere. But viewers at home could catch him for a cash prize. And
a fantastic idea for a show.
It was supposed to debut, I think, like September 13th, 2001.
Oh, I didn't know they actually made it.
No, like it was live. It was supposed to be like
live.
Because
okay,
like you're supposed to be like, he's in my city. I'm going to go find him and catch him. Which the implications of that too are just
you might have problems.
But the idea I think was going to be that like they could go anywhere in the world, but like it was like, oh no, like flights are canceled and like
and all of a sudden nobody really wants to watch.
Yeah, this like, hey, let's go on a manhunt for this guy. They're like, yeah, we got people we're trying to find actually.
Not for the guy we actually want to find, but for a television show contestant. So it was like early 2000s. Project Greenlight, the idea, it was two of them and what's the other guy's name, Chris something or other, like their producing partner, and it was like, hey, we're gonna find talent.
I couldn't think of one famous person with the name Chris.
There's a million of them. They're all in the Marvel movies, all the hunks.
Chris Cooper.
Chris Cooper's not a Marvel movie hunk.
Tom, I don't watch Marvel.
Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans, right. Chris Pratt.
All right.
So the idea was basically a riff on their success of like, hey, we were discovered out of nowhere. Not really, but a little bit. And we, you know, made Good Will Hunting. And look at us now. We want to do that for somebody else. So we're going to just like take script submissions and it's going to be like a reality show, but then we're going to make the movie. So it's like a contest, but then we make the movie and it never worked. And the last time they did it,
they never produced a good movie.
No. And like, not only did they never produce a good movie, they never produced a movie that didn't have like significant problems of just like, oh, there are like scenes missing, that like the story wasn't finished, so it kind of doesn't make sense. They like never really shot them like indie movies. Like the idea was like, we're going to make this like an indie movie, but it was always like the Hollywood idea of an indie movie.
I mean, that was kind of like the Miramax brand.
Yeah, I guess. But like, but it seemed like they still didn't give them enough money to actually do that.
Now, do you feel like that is kind of the whole point of it? Where it's like, if you watched a TV show week to week that had a smooth running production.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Would you keep tuning in? Like, by design, are these movies meant to be shit?
Well, I know, because I think
they're
like,
walking a fine line. I don't think they realized how fine a line they were working to make the production compelling enough and the final project.
Well, I think it was
watchable
really
enough.
Really, just the last season of Project Greenlight that was like the most reality show esque with like crazy conflicts. Like, I've seen the other seasons, at, you know, like a long time ago when they aired. And like, that was really, that was when, you know, like the real world was a reality show. So it was like more like, oh, we're just going to try and document the process here. And as a result, those shows weren't at nearly as much fun to watch, because it was more like, oh, they're dealing with like real problems of making a movie, not like conflicting egos and personalities and stuff.
In the real world, like the conflict in the first season was like, who's going to get the phone?
Yeah.
Can you get the phone? That was Heather. Yeah.
That was a huge conflict. They got real mad at each other about that.
Did you watch The Real World Reunion on Paramount?
I haven't watched it yet.
You gotta watch it. It's the best thing.
Well,
I've
that's
watched.
Not about this is about Ben Affleck. Was he ever on The Real World?
No.
Ben Affleck should be on The Real World?
No, because I was like, oh, he should have a reality show.
No.
But like, in a post Kardashian world, like, we know how that's going to go. We don't want him to be this.
No.
I want him to make more prestige movie. Anyway, go on. Talk about
Project. I was just going to say the early seasons, they just made bad. They always made bad movies, but like, they weren't as, I don't think they were trying to make a compelling I think that they were new enough to filmmaking that they were like, no, this will be compelling enough on its own.
They were extras in Field of Dreams, Tom.
Wow. Were they in the stands or were they baseball players?
I think in the stands.
Okay.
They might have been in the stands when Gabby Hoffman choked on that hot dog and her lips turned purple and it scarred me for life.
If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgt.com. You can check out our second show, Books the Podcast. Oh boy, we got a controversial one this week. Oh boy, we are reading If I Did It by OJ Simpson.
And to be clear, we are not endorsing this book.
No, we're just reading it.
It's an abhorrent book.
Yeah.
Look, sometimes you got to read books that are shitty to let everybody know how shitty they are.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not endorsing it, but we're reading it because, look, we're
journalists.
Yeah. Somebody's got to read these books and tell everybody about what happens in them.
Mm-hmm.
And who, if not us, Booksmen, Books the Podcast, OJ Simpson, he's in all the episodes with us. He's a good, close, personal friend. But that aside,
we are going to be completely fair and balanced.
Patreon.com/Complete Guide. You can follow us on Twitter at Complete Guide. Follow us on Instagram at TCGTE. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Tom Reynolds.
Follow me at your pal, Tim.
That's all the plugs I'm going to do for today.
All right.
You find out everything
there's
else.
There's a Discord. There's a Reddit. Go do that.
Go on our website.
If you are a patron, I should probably say this on the Patreon show, and you're not in the Discord, what are you doing? You get this whole private channel where you know, Tom and I can't see what you're writing.
That's not true.
We can see.
But anybody can join the Discord. Yeah. It's just that there's a private Patreon channel. Hey, and Ben Affleck, if you're listening, we'll give you an invite to the private channel.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck, if you're listening, you reach out, you get your own channel. Maybe
just to
maybe
talk
we
to
put our own channel. Maybe we put a Ben Affleck channel on our Discord anyway.
Yeah. Maybe we just make a private channel for Ben Affleck and J-Lo to talk, and we don't have access to it.
Tim's winking. That doesn't come across. Yeah, but then we could see what they were saying. And they're probably looking. They're probably like, how do we stay in touch?
Exactly. Well, I mean, they're both on the move, Tom.
Yeah.
They're on the go.
And I bet if you pitch this, if you told, and J-Lo would be like, oh, yeah, I have Discord. Yeah, I'm on Discord on my phone. I'm a Discord Nitro member. I pay for the premium subscription. I'm listening. We could have our own private server? No, our own private channel. Okay. Well, even that, I'll take it.
Tom, what's your favorite Ben Affleck movie? What's your favorite Ben Affleck performance?
I don't know. Hard to say.
Suicide Squad?
You know what? He was good in that.
He's not even credited in it.
Yeah, he's in one scene, but it is like a good Batman performance, I think. Yeah, I don't know. I liked him in Gone Girl a lot. You see his wiener.
You know what? Gone Girl scared me too much.
But that's a sign of a good movie.
I know, but like, I was like, not, you know, I wasn't like scared, like, oh, I'm gonna get murdered or I'm gonna get gone girl or whatever. It made me
they're gonna make me a gone girl.
I was like, is this what like society is like now? I don't understand society. It made me feel real out of touch.
I mean, it was a fictional story. It's not like this has happened hundreds of times.
Women
have gone girled their husbands.
Yeah, no, I just think the people in that movie, I'm just like, there are people like this?
Yeah.
No, I'm out.
There aren't that many.
It's kind of like, I feel the same way about that.
She's like a complete psychopath.
That I do about climate change.
What's that?
Like, there's nothing I can do about this. We're all fucked.
So you feel about Gone Girl the same way you do about climate change.
Yeah, about what the implications of Gone Girl for society and the fact that people like this exist.
Uh-huh.
Is the same as the implications in my mind of climate change. It's like, why do we even bother?
All right, we'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.